You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
All right, everybody, that's right. There it is. There comes the music. We're going to get used to this music at some point, Bill.
We got to change it up at some point, though, I think.
Listen, this was the song that you requested.
I know. Love this.
That's right. It's another live football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, and sitting next to me, as always, is Banker Bill. Bill, what's going on, bud?
Dude, I get excited every Wednesday. I like the fact you're able to point the right direction, though. I like the look. I can look at you. That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
And cheesy. Hey! But yeah, no, I'm excited, man. I love talking football, and let's do some of that. I'm ready to get into the topics you have brought forth.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we've got to get to this week. First and foremost, if you want to watch the show live on Facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, Twitter @tapoutsandtds, or the YouTube channel for Tapouts and Touchdowns, make sure you share the show with your friends so that they can watch along and join the conversation. Let's go ahead. Let's get started with the show this week, and let's start in college football. Because we are at the end of the, I guess you call it the regular season, as conference championships are set to take place this week. Bill, which of these college football conference championship games do you think is going to be the most competitive this coming weekend?
Actually, I have, four, really. I don't want to say so competitive.
Yeah.
I really think that Georgia-Alabama game is going to be pretty good.
It is.
Yeah. I think that's probably going to be your best one. But, man, we have so many. It's gonna be really fun, Ryan. I mean, you can't overlook the Oregon-Washington game.
Of course not.
No. That one's
a rematch. That was Oregon's only loss.
That's a Friday game. We get Friday football.
It's exciting, especially because the weather that we're going to get in the upstate of South Carolina this weekend, we need something to keep us.
Especially on Friday. That's going to be fantastic. But I think that Oregon-Washington game is a playoff game. I think the winner of that regardless gets in.
It's
going to happen.
It might as well be a playoff game because it's a play-in game. I think the winner of that game makes the playoff.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I think Alabama-Georgia is going to be better than a lot of people expect. I think Alabama is still ranked number 8 in the country because of one loss to Texas, who was a top 10 team. Pedro agrees. Alabama-Georgia is going to be so good, as we agree. And like Pedro, if you're watching the show, leave a comment wherever you're watching and join the conversation. So, Bill, having said that, which do you think is going to have the biggest blowout? I mean, we have a ton of We've got some really good games here. You mentioned Oregon, Washington, Oklahoma State versus Texas. I'm looking at all the games. You get Michigan, Iowa. Michigan, a 21.5-point favorite. Which of these games? I mean, we're looking. Mountain West, Boise State, UNLV. You got Miami of Ohio against Toledo. Like, what of these teams do you think is going to be the biggest blowout?
To be honest, I don't know enough about like Miami of Ohio and Toledo. Like, I couldn't tell you what those teams are going to do, but I think of the larger, conference title games, I think Texas Oklahoma State is in danger of being boring. I don't know. Oklahoma State did not finish the season all that well after beating Oklahoma. They kind of limped into the championship game, just barely made it last week. And Texas looks like they've turned their season around a little bit. And now they're trying to work their way into a college playoff. And the only way to do that is to just hammer Oklahoma State. So I think that one could be, if Texas is ready to go, that one could be kind of not so much fun.
Yeah. Oklahoma State coming off a win against Texas loses to UCF. Oklahoma loses to UCF 45-3. Pedro wants to take a shot at you, Bill.
What's that? Knowles. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's your year for now.
Yeah. If you're watching live, like Pedro, join the conversation, enter the chat, and we'll read your comments live on the air. Okay. So having said that, Bill, of these conference championship games, which do you think has the biggest opportunity to get an upset?
Well, Pedro, I think the Louisville FSU game is the biggest opportunity for an upset. I do not feel good about Mr. Rodemaker. He did not play well against Florida. And I don't think he's going to play well at all because I really don't think he's all that good. I think Louisville could beat Florida State for sure. And I think that's probably the one we're going to look at. That I don't see Iowa beating Michigan. And I really don't see Alabama beating Georgia. Although, would anybody be really surprised? I don't think so because that's always, you know, a tough game.
I don't recall a time where Alabama was more than like a 3-point dog. Like their 5-point dogs were actually, spoiler alert, we're picking them in Pick'ems tonight. I didn't even answer my question. I think Michigan is going to blow out Iowa. I hate to say it, but there's a point to be proven. They beat Ohio State.
I like Iowa's defense though. Iowa has a really good defense. They just can't play offense.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think if there's a school that has a chance to pull the upset, Louisville lost to Kentucky last week. And so I think they've got a point to prove, and that would really throw a wrench in the plans of the College Football Playoff Committee. And then I think Alabama has an actual shot to knock off Georgia and really cause chaos.
Oh, that would be the chaos.
Because imagine if Louisville beats Florida State and Alabama beats Georgia. Who gets in? Who gets in? We got a couple more comments.
So Louisville beats Florida State and Alabama beats Georgia, huh? I think Georgia's still in.
I mean, I think so, too. They go undefeated in the regular season, lose the SEC championship game, they're still in. Pedro thinks that Oregon wins over Washington. I think we do, too. I think that's a pretty foregone conclusion. We see Washington finally lose a game, and they lose it at the wrong time.
Right, yeah.
And they get that jumped over out. By Oregon.
Yeah. You're only going to have one Pac-12 team in. You can get two SEC teams. I think Alabama and Georgia both go in if Alabama wins that game. And then who's the fourth? I think Oregon gets in, right? So who's the fourth? Michigan? We say Michigan beats Ohio State, and that would be your four.
Well, Michigan would obviously beat Iowa this weekend. So you'd have Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, and
Florida State. If Florida State wins, Florida State loses, Oregon gets in.
Well, you know, we're talking about who gets in, who gets out. It begs the question, Zach, former guest picker of the show, he mentioned on social media, he wanted to know our thoughts on the 12-team playoff that starts next season.
Finally. That's my thought. Finally.
Tim Costello wants to know if he missed any Michigan talk. It was very brief.
No.
We did say that Michigan – Bill said that he liked Iowa's defense, but I think Michigan's going to blow out Iowa this weekend.
I don't feel a blowout there. I think it's going to be really low scoring. I mean, they've had the epic, like the record – over-unders Iowa has all season long, and they keep going under the over-under. It's terrible because they can't play offense. They play really good defense. Michigan is not going to score a ton, I don't think, against Iowa, but Iowa's not going to score. So it could still be a blowout, but it's going to be like a 14-0 blowout.
So Zach wanted to know about the 12-team playoff next year.
Yeah.
Right now, if you looked at the College Football Playoff rankings, Oklahoma would still be looking at a playoff spot, as would Ole Miss, Penn State. Did you know Missouri jump back in the top 10 after last week?
As they should. They're a good team.
A 10-2 Missouri team. They're the highest ranked 2-loss team in the country.
Yeah.
And again, we wouldn't have to worry about whether Alabama can make the playoff, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon. All these teams will be in the playoff at this point. But
the thing is though, Ryan, here's my question with that though. And not to interrupt you or anything, but I love this conversation with the 12-team playoff because the 12-team playoff has the idea of getting in some of these teams that wouldn't normally be in, like Tulane, where they're down at, you know, 11-1 at 20, you know, in 22. Their loss is to Ole Miss. So should they be retired?
That was a tight game.
Yeah, it was a tight game for a long time.
They almost beat Ole Miss, yeah.
Right, and so you got Ole Miss at 10-2 in the 11th spot, and you got Tulane at 11-1 in the 22nd. So I think that teams like that are going to get in to this 12-team playoff just to give these, you know, smaller schools like the Cincinnati we've seen actually make the 14 playoff, not play that well when they did. But, you know, I think those teams are going to be the ones that actually start to get in. And so I don't think those teams that are at the back end of the top 12 are actually going to be the teams that get in the playoff.
So, I mean, even saying that, like, you would then wonder, like, okay, so now you're looking at, instead of, like, the 3 and 4 seed, you're looking at, all right, who doesn't get in out of LSU, yeah. Louisville, Arizona at 9-3? Shout out to the Liberty Flame, 12-0, a perfect regular season.
National champion.
I know they're one of their defensive coaches was a defensive coordinator at Easley High School last year, and I wrestled with his brother. In high school. Shout out to Bobby Ruff. I doubt he'll ever listen to this show. His dad was an All-American for the Citadel, Brian Ruff Sr. So congratulations to Liberty for an undefeated regular season, sitting 24th in the country.
I think it's going to be really fun, man. I think the 12-team playoff is going to be really fun. It's going to be like the NCAA tournament in basketball, where who's in, who's out. Like, that's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be fun to see who gets the byes. Like, that's good. We're still going to have the top four situation where, oh, they're going to get bye, you know, bye weeks and stuff like that. That's going to be super fun. I cannot wait for that. And you know what we get also with the 12-team playoff? An NCAA football game.
So, spoiler alert, Tyler Roberts will be guest picking with us tonight. He's never been on the show before, but he's a good friend of mine. We've gone to a Hornets-Knicks game in Charlotte. He is the other member of our Madden and our Madden Tapouts and Touchdowns Madden League. We started off with about six people, and it's just the three of us now.
Yes.
And of course, all the teams. Tyler's team is the Patriots. Bill's team is the Dolphins. And so while a lot of us were waiting to play user games, they play twice a year. But I forgot where I was going with this other than to say that
he beat me in the AFC Championship game.
We'll get there. We were talking off the air before the show started about NCAA coming out next year, and I'm taking the day off or the next two days off when NCAA releases.
I probably actually will for the first time in my life. I can't do it. I'm married. I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, it's also the first time in years that I'll buy an EA Sports game
when it comes out.
Launch, instead of waiting for it to drop an EA Play. We got one more comment. Pedro, really love it. How it allows a loss during the season for teams. Not with you.
I agree with
playoff
that.
is gonna allow some competition and see. We're finally gonna maybe potentially get like a 12-4 upset or whatever the case may be.
Because there's never been a 12-4 upset, right?
Yeah, fair. Let's move on from college football here because NFL Week 12 has come and gone. But of all the games that took place over the weekend, we had Thanksgiving Day games. We had the first ever Black Friday game. We had some stuff happen. But the big news out of the NFL this week is David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, fired Frank Reich. And then the new special teams coordinator takes over as the interim head coach and fires quarterbacks coach Josh McCown and running backs coach Deuce Staley. Bill, we talked about a few weeks ago, Texas A&M is paying Jimbo Fisher $73 million not to coach at Texas A&M. They have a new coach and Duke's former coach, former defense coordinator at Texas A&M. But the Carolina Panthers are now paying a combined two coaches, a combined $70 million not to coach the Carolina Panthers. Bill, is David Tepper the worst owner in the NFL?
No. Because you still got guys like Jerry. No. You still got guys like Jerry Jones and Jim Irsay. I mean, they're winning terrible games. Mark Davis, come on.
They're winning games, Bill. The Carolina Panthers have a losing record.
They went 7-9 last, or whatever, 7-10 last year. I don't remember.
It was a losing record. Since David Tepper has bought the team, the Carolina Panthers have a losing record. I kind of want to go pull up my stats here. Here we go. I give me a second as I pull them up. So since David Tepper took over the Carolina Panthers this season, you're going to see it across the ticker if you're watching the show live. The Panthers offense is 25th in the league in passing yards per game, 28th in rushing yards, 30th in total yards. But their defense is okay, 6th in total defense. Now they're letting everybody score, 30th in scoring defense, 5th in passing. The team is bad, okay?
It is bad.
And they've been bad ever since David Tepper took over as owner. So I gave back to you. I know you said that you still got Jerry Jones and Mark Davis and Jim Irsay, but I mean, they've shown spurts of success. Irsay was the owner when the Colts won a Super Bowl. Now Mark Davis is the descendant of his son, Al Davis, who, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. Jerry Jones will always be Jerry Jones, but he does have a couple of rings as an owner. Let's see if any of these comments. Oh, Najee's in here. I know. So first of all, Najee is in the chat. Ravens Nation, hashtag Ravens Nation. Thought that I didn't have my your dad's in here too. What's up,
Phil?
But Najee said that I didn't have my stats ready. And it's in a different. I record the Cat Cave, my Panthers show on here, and it was just in another category. But so let's go all the way back. All right.
Well, I can take this.
Okay.
I don't grade owners generally by whether or not their team is winning. Because how involved, I don't know this, maybe you do. How involved is this guy? Like, is he one of those guys like Jerry Jones that actually thinks he knows football and hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1985? Is that what he's doing? So he's the one that decided to draft Bryce Young. He's the one.
Yes. So, okay. So he
was so he bought the team to kind of be a GM as well as the people that he's hiring.
When he fired Matt Rhule last year, he had a press conference where he gave a bunch of non-answers. He had a press conference this week where he said that most of everybody in his non-Panthers world views him as a patient person. However, he fired his head coach 11 games into his inaugural season.
Right.
I want to pull up a tweet here that was read by, and we might talk about this a little bit later, but it was a reporter for the Charlotte Observer that he was basically isolated from the press conference. He sat in the front row. He had his hand raised. He protested to get a question in, and they would not take his question. Let's move on from the fact that David Tepper's a bad owner, because I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
I don't know. I'm not there yet, but yeah, you're saying he is. I'll take your word on that one because I don't know enough.
He's an egomaniac. He said that he wants to hire somebody that'll be with the organization for the next 30 to 40 years.
How did he make his money?
Hedge funds. So having said that, the Panthers are without a coach. They're going to be looking for their fifth head coach in the last 6 years. Who is going to be willing to take this job, Bill? The rumors have it that Ron Rivera is out in Washington at the end of the year. Does David Tepper try to mend that relationship and bring back Ron Rivera?
No, that's not going to happen. I think you're going to get somebody that is a coordinator somewhere that would take a head coaching job just to be a head coach and try to prove all the naysayers wrong. But that person's going to have to love Bryce Young. What's going to...
So he said that everybody in the room wanted Bryce Young. They expected to get C.J. Stroud in the draft because they expected Houston to move up and take him at number one or take Bryce Young at one. So, but he claims that everybody in the room wanted Bryce Young. There was so much more. Here's a tweet from Mina Kimes about how he made his money. Mina Kimes, David Tepper's impatience is fascinating to me. He made billions betting on distressed bank stocks during the crisis. TLDR, he bet the government would backstop institutions, then wrote it out. Must drive him crazy that he can't identify investing principles in football. They went after Ben Johnson last year. He stayed in Detroit because he didn't want to go to this dumpster fire. Listen, if you want to coach for the Carolina Panthers, listen, let me start over. If you want to come make millions of dollars to not coach for the Carolina Panthers through a contract, this is the place for you.
Yeah, I'll go take that job.
I wish I could find even Diana Rossini got in on it.
You know what I like, Ryan?
What's up?
I like that I sent you a text on Sunday afternoon watching the Carolina Panthers game. Can I read it to you? Because I mean, please. this is full on, like, what the heck, man?
Please.
On Sunday at 1:58 p.m., I've been watching the Panthers game for 58 minutes, and I texted Ryan and I said, we were wrong about the front office that is going to get cleaned out in a few years. I think it's Carolina. Young was not the pick.
Yep.
And Ryan, we didn't really have an argument. We decided we were going to talk about it on the show. You said it's too soon, and I said, I'm not seeing it. It's basically the gist of what we were saying. But I mean, I predicted, and I cannot tell you that I was so shocked on Monday when we get the notification that Reich was fired. I was like, holy cow, I expected at the end of the season, not tomorrow. But yeah, I was watching Bright, and I'm like, this team is just awful. God awful. It's just terrible.
I'm really upset I didn't take a screenshot of that quote from the guy from the Charlotte Observer, because it was what a dumpster fire the Carolina Panthers are. They're going to be looking for a new head coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to be able to lure Michigan's Jim Harbaugh away. I don't see anybody really be interested in coming to take
this
job.
It's a coordinator.
Najee, here's some comments. Najee says Tepper doesn't have a vision. Absolutely right, Najee. 100% right. Mama Frick in the chat. What's up, Mama Frick? Amy Lynn Wickman in the chat. Hey, how's it going? Your dad comes back in the chat. Tepper's a billionaire that knows nothing about football.
A lot of
billionaires. He likes the power.
Yep.
sounds a lot like Jerry Jones and Mark Davis. Tim Costello, does the interim coach have a chance? I don't think so.
Depends on what he does.
I mean, still, Steve Wilks went 6-6, and we're one game away from taking the Panthers to a playoff game, and Wilks is the DC in San Francisco. If I'm Carolina, I'm going to Steve Wilks, and I'm giving him the Happy Gilmore speech when he wanted Chubbs to come coach him against Shooter McGavin. Like, the, I'm dumb, you're smart, you know, that whole thing. And I'm offering the job to Steve Wilks. Andy's back in the chat. Last week's picker, was it 2 weeks away? 2 weeks ago's picker. It was last week.
Shannon was 2 weeks ago.
Poor Andy had a bad week. 2-6 on picks. Let's go through some rapid fire so we can get to picks. Tyler's been patiently waiting to make picks with us. Rapid fire. The Broncos win again. Will the Broncos make the playoffs, Bill?
You want me to predict this? Like, put my Swami hat on?
Yeah.
They're in the position right now. I haven't looked at their schedule, but I'm going to go with yes. They're terrifying. They're terrifying. All right. Russell Wilson is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and their defense is starting to play football.
All right. I'm with you. We talk about tanking every year. Who should be tanking right now?
I hate tanking.
For their future.
I hate tanking. Can we not do that? Any team that feels like their quarterback stinks.
So the Patriots. Sorry, Tyler. Yeah, Tyler's not in his head.
They've been tanking all year. They've been tanking all anybody. I mean, if you don't have a quarterback, that's what you have to do. Quarterback's the number one position in the NFL. You have to go get one, and there are three or four available in the draft this season.
All right. Aaron Rodgers, the Jets opened up his 21-day window to start practicing. Does Aaron Rodgers play again this season for the New York Jets?
Yes. Why would they do? Yes. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. Michael Strahan said on Fox NFL Sunday this weekend that this is a situation where the ownership should go to Aaron Rodgers and say, look, you don't need to play. There's no reason for you to play this season. You're not going to help us. You could injure yourself worse. It could be the end of your career. It's ridiculous. There's no reason for it.
All right. Tim coming back in. The G-men. He thinks the G-men.
Well, they're not tanking. They've won two in a row.
I guess he's asking Atlanta or New Orleans. Like, I don't know if he's asking if.
I know why he's asking that. I know why he's asking that. Who do you think wins that division?
Atlanta. I hate to
say that. Oh, no. Don't say that. You're going to give him a heart attack.
I think Atlanta wins the division. I hate saying that because my preseason pick was the Panthers and then the Saints. So what do I know? All right, we're gonna take our first break. We come back. Tyler Roberts will be joining us to make podcast picks. Spoiler alert: I had a really good week last week. Stay tuned to find out how good when we come back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment, with offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence. Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap Outs and Touchdowns sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
Thanks for coming back. Tap Outs and Touchdowns, Bully Ryan, Baker Bill, your dad was not happy with my Falcons pick.
I told you that. I'm not going to tell you why. Let's just say he has money on a big parlay, and he would make a lot of money if a certain team, and the whole situation, including the Dolphins. The Dolphins are one of his, it's division winners, the certain division winners.
Yeah.
All of them look really good right now, except for New Orleans. Thank you, Derek Carr. That's Eric's favorite quarterback.
Yeah, trailing favorite quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
So Podcast Pick'ems Week 13 is here. I had a great week. I had a good week in that I caught up with Bill, finally. We are 42-25-1 tied in podcast pick'ems.
We have caught the guest pickers. Thank you, Andy.
Poor Andy had a really bad week. 2-6. He got the Cowboys and Dolphins last week, and that was it.
Let's go.
I need to apologize first and foremost to Sam Morris, who took my Lions in her survivor pool last week, and it eliminated her as they lost on Thanksgiving Day. She said she's never watching the show again, and I don't blame her. All right, without further ado, he is a Michigan fan. He is a New England Patriots fan. He is the New England Patriots, a multi-time champion in our Tapouts and Touchdowns Madden League. He is a wrestling fan, as I am. We've gone on wrestling trips together. We have broken bread and shared beverages. My friend Tyler Roberts is here with us to make picks. Tyler, what's up?
Boo. How's it going? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Bill is so hot.
For multiple reasons. Patriots fan, and he beat me in Madden last time we played.
Yeah. I mean, you beat me twice in the regular season. You're just going to have to let that playoff win go.
What have you done for me lately, Tyler? What have you done for me lately?
True. Very true.
To be fair, even though Tyler beat you in the AFC Championship game, I did beat Tyler in the Super Bowl. So your two-time undefeated champ, Detroit Lions, win that league. All right. So we're going back to the traditional format, five games that we're going to pick from, but we got three college games we're going to pick from this week. Let's start off in the Pac-12. This line has not moved. Number five, Oregon, a 9.5-point favorite against number three, Washington. Tyler, I'm going to let you start us off here. Who wins the Pac-12?
Well, I do like Michael Penix. I think he's an unbelievable player. However, I got Oregon by two touchdowns.
Cover. All right, Bill, what say you?
Cover. I'm just a little bit shocked that Washington is the higher ranked team going into this, obviously undefeated, and they played already this season, Washington, with the 3-point win, and they are a huge underdog to Oregon. How much do people love Oregon right now? I think Washington covers this, but I do think Oregon wins the game.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, this game was tight before. It could have gone either way, but it went the way of Washington. I think Oregon gets the win back, but I think it's another tight game. So give me Oregon to get the win, but give me Washington to cover the spread. I'm right there with both of you. Let's move over to the SEC. We touted this as one of the most competitive games and probably one of the biggest chances for an upset here this weekend. Georgia, the number one team in the country, 5.5-point favorite, going to basically play a home game in the new Georgia Dome in Atlanta against number eight Alabama. Bill, let's start off with you. Who you got? Georgia, Alabama. Who wins the SEC?
I just think Georgia's too much. I think they're at least a touchdown favorite, in my opinion. I think they're going to win this game. I think they cover the spread. I'll take Georgia.
I'm going to go with Alabama to cover. I don't think now listen, Alabama might have been overlooking Auburn last week, but they needed a fourth and goal from the 31 yards out. A miracle with 41 seconds left to win that game, and they pulled it off. I think they were looking ahead at Georgia, and I think for that very reason, I think they're going to be super prepared. Nick Saban has never brought a team that was unprepared for a football game. I think they cover this, but I think I they could win outright. The smart pick to say is that Georgia wins this game. I think they win, but I think Alabama covers. Tyler, what say you?
Alabama pulls off the upset, 34-27. We do not need a three-time national champion in Georgia.
Man, Tyler coming out with a score prediction. I love it, man. More people need to come on with score predictions like Tyler. I'm liking this. All right, we're going to the ACC now. Louisville, we mentioned earlier in the show, drops their rivalry game to Kentucky. They're still headed. They're limping into the ACC championship game against Florida State, who had moved up to inside the top four with Ohio State's loss to Michigan last week. I'm going to go ahead and start us off because I'm surprised Aaron isn't in the chat talking about how I never pick the games first. No. Listen, I'm going to go Florida State. I love to see the chaos, right?
Not a maker.
But I think Florida State is just too good. If Louisville – listen, Kentucky's not a bad football team, but they're also not a really good football team. All the teams they played this year that were really good, they lost to, and they also lost to my 5-7 Gamecocks and what wasn't a very competitive game. Give me Florida State to cover this. Tyler, let's go back to you. What say you? Who wins the ACC?
As much as I would like to give up on Florida State, they're going to win it late by a touchdown.
All right. He's going Florida State as well. Bill, what say you? Who wins the ACC?
I think not to crap on Ryan. But Ryan uses a sense of analysis. He says, I think that Alabama was looking ahead of Auburn, and that is why they're going to smack Georgia. But Louisville loses to Kentucky, and they weren't looking ahead at all, guys. I think they're just not – Kentucky's just a little bit better than Louisville wins this game, guys. Come on. Tate Rodemaker was terrible. He was terrible against the Gators, and the Gators stink on defense. They let the Gamecocks put up 39 points against them, and in, you know, Florida State, a much, much better team, supposedly put up 24. Give me a break. Louisville wins this game.
All right, Tyler's – or I'm sorry, Bill's the only one to take Louisville. Real quick for fun, Texas is a 15.5-point favorite against Oklahoma State. Does anybody think that Oklahoma State covers that spread? All right.
I think that's going to be a boring game.
Yep. And how about Michigan, Iowa? You're rocking the Michigan. I can't not bring up Michigan, but you rock the Michigan hat in here. Michigan's a 21.5-point favorite against Iowa. Tyler, you think Michigan covers that spread, or you think Iowa's defense holds them down and keeps that game close?
I go back to 2 years ago when they both played in the Big Ten championship. Michigan blows them out Saturday night.
All right. Pedro comes in the chat. He wants to make sure that Auburn knows that Auburn was dumb on that play. Let's rush two guys knowing it's the Iron Bowl. Fair enough. All right, let's go over to the world of the NFL. We're only picking two games out of the NFL this week, and let's start off Thursday night football. The Seattle Seahawks, sort of kind of fizzling here down the stretch, taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas on Thursday night. Dallas, a 9-point home favorite. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here. Who you got winning this Thursday night football game?
Which Seahawks team is going to show up? The one that showed up in Detroit earlier this season and shocked the world? Or the one we've seen for a few weeks? I don't think the Seahawks can pull this one anywhere close. I think the Cowboys cover the 9.
Tyler, what say you, Cowboys or Seahawks?
Cowboys easily cover it. They're turning things around the way they played against Washington. They're getting hot at the right time. I don't like them. Just want the world to know that, but nobody easily does. They cover.
Nobody likes the Cowboys.
All right, Bill, your dad's going to watch the Rangers game, so he's out.
Oh, go ahead. Go Rangers, Dad.
Listen, I don't know how to say
don't
this
do without it,
looking
Ryan.
Like an idiot.
Don't do it, Ryan.
Thursday night football games are often very boring and don't live up to the hype.
This is basically a Sunday game. They both played on Thanksgiving.
Tim thinks it's a battle of defense in this game. And I'm not going to disagree. I think the Cowboys win, but I like it to be closer than 9 points. The Cowboys in prime time always let you down, and so I'm taking them with the letdown as far as the spread goes, and I'm taking Seattle. The last game on the pick'em slate here, Sunday, 4:25 kickoff, the game of the weekend, possibly an NFC Championship preview. The San Francisco 49ers are traveling out to Philadelphia. The Niners, a 3-point favorite on the road. And I have been on record on this show saying that the Eagles at home won't lose because they always get that home cooking in Philadelphia. And for that very reason, I'm taking the Eagles to win this game. I mean, 3 points is a field goal. I see them winning by at least 4. If they win by a field goal, that's a push. Even though it's not like a night game, it's a mid-afternoon game, I'm still taking the Eagles because they're at home. Tyler, let's go to you. What say you? Eagles hosting the 49ers.
49ers win it at the end via the leg of Michigan legend Jake Moody. Win by field
Michigan
goal.
Michigan legend Jake Moody. I love that, Tyler. Bill, what say you? Niners and Eagles.
You know, the reality is, Ryan, this game starts at 4:25, so really it is a night game. I mean, it's up in Philly. It's getting dark pretty early now. It really is a night game. However, I think the 49ers are really tough with all their weapons healthy. Debo's there. That team stunk when Debo got hurt. Believe it or not, Ryan, I think your boy is the cog in the wheel, and he's playing on Sunday, and I think the Niners take this one.
All right. So there's some separation here tonight between you and me. So let's see if we just cancel those out and we stay tied going into next week. Tyler, before we say goodbye to you, is there anybody that you want to give a shout out to here on the show this week?
Just shout out to you guys for having me. Hopefully once we advance the Madden League, Bill, I kick your ass. But would love to come back and, you know, hopefully look forward to next week to see how I did on my picks.
Awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. I should mention to Bill that we should be able to go through the offseason tonight, but we'll talk about it off the air. Everybody, Tyler Roberts. Tyler, thanks for being here, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. See you.
See you, man. That's Tyler Roberts, our guest picker this week. Let's see if he can out-pick Andy from last week in his pretty disappointing pick. A couple comments before we go to our last break. Pedro Guillen, Eagles brotherly shove.
Uh-oh.
And the Eagles got Michigan's Brandon Graham. So he wanted to do. Tim wants to know, does Kittle show up again? Of course he does. I mean, when you've got all the weapons on that offense, the 49ers offense will show up. And Volley Polly's in the chat. What's up, Derek? Good to see you tonight. All right, Bill, we're going to take our final break. We come back. It is all fantasy football talk. We got bullies, buys, and sells, Bill's fact or crap. And we only got a couple of questions from you on social media. So if you've got any fantasy football questions, put them in the chat now. Facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, Twitter at tapoutsandtds, or the YouTube channel. Put your fantasy football questions in the chat. We'll read them and talk about them live on the air. But until then, we're going to take our final break. We come back. Fantasy football talk right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, welcome everybody back. This is your fantasy football talk here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, alongside Banker Bill. Volley Polly wants to know, have you brought up the fact that you swept me in the Tap Outs and Touchdowns league yet?
Oh, I haven't. Oh, did I do? I swept. I didn't even realize it. I knew that I beat you this week.
You had every single guy that you started, even Rashee Rice went off on me this week.
That's on purpose, Ryan. I'm trying to win.
Well, you know who went off on who last week in buys and sells factor crap?
Oh, here we go.
I went off on you. 7-1 last week, ladies and gentlemen. My best week since I went, let's see.
Now you're 500, Ryan. That's not that great.
6-2 back in week 5. It is my best week of the season. That means I'm just getting hot right at the right time.
Oh,
heading into your fantasy football playoffs. Look at that, 48-48,
Ryan. Come on, man.
I admitted that you got into my head, and that's why I took a dump on some of those weeks. Tim, I don't know why all your players get hurt, man. I don't know.
Dad's giving us Rangers updates in the comments. I appreciate it, Dad. Thank you.
Yeah, and yeah, real quick, yeah, he's giving us Rangers 1-0. That's awesome. Yeah, Volley Polly knew that I went 7-1, and so they're ready for some more meticulous fantasy football advice for week 13. Bill, are you ready for Bully's buys for week 13?
I've done my research.
All right, let's start off at quarterback here. We're going quarterback Trevor Lawrence, projected 20.2 points, as I don't need my reading glasses, but I do need to zoom in on my screen. Back-to-back games with 26-plus points, but he's only beaten his projection two other times all season. However, the Jags get the Bengals this week, allowing the 14th most points to quarterbacks. And without Juro playing, I think, against an improving Jacksonville defense, I think since he's going to be giving the ball back to Jacksonville a ton in this game, and more opportunities means more fantasy performance or better fantasy performance for Trevor Lawrence, which is why I'm buying him this week. Bill, what say you, fact or crap, buying Trevor Lawrence?
I think it's a fact, Ryan. I like this one, mainly because the Bengals aren't going to stay on the field very much. I think their offense obviously is going to be very poor, as it was last week. And Trevor Lawrence is beating this the last 2 weeks, or has beat this prediction the last 2 weeks. And I think he continues that. By the way, he's running now. Have you noticed that? Trevor Lawrence rushing TDs both the last 2 weeks. That's why he's beating this by quite a bit now.
He ran at Clemson. I know he's athletic.
They weren't doing that. Now they are.
Yeah.
So fact on this one.
All right, let's move over to running back here. It should come as no surprise. Atlanta Falcons running back Bijan Robinson, projected 15.6 points.
We just call Beast on Robinson.
I like that. Kind of like
this guy's a monster. Like
David Tepper's the David Wrecker of the Carolina Panthers. All right, Bijan Robinson, 15.6 points. The Falcons play the Jets this week, allowing the fifth most points to opposing running backs in fantasy. A renewed commitment to the run game for the Falcons has seen Robinson outscore his projection in each of his past two games, including a season-high 27 points against the Saints last week. Look for the Falcons to keep feeding their star rookie on the way to potential NFC South title. Bill, fact or crap, 15.6 points for Bijan Robinson.
I'm also going to call fact on this one, Ryan. I think this is another good prediction. beat this prediction 5 out of the 11 games that he's played, including the last two. Like you said, they're committing to the run because, well, their passing offense kind of stinks. So I think Bijan, obviously going up against the Jets, they don't really stop opposing running backs. You saw what Raheem Mostert did to them last week. I think Bijan has a good week this week.
What's weird is that first you get Ketchup and Mostert playing them last week, and now you're getting the honey Bijan mustard against the Jets this week. You like that?
That was fancy. Fancy. I like it.
Tim Costello thinks that they're letting Trevor Lawrence run because of the hair. It's the hair that makes him able
flowing. To run. I actually had a thought about his hair this week. I was like, when is he going to cut that stuff? He's not in like high school and college anymore. That's kind of weird. Anyway,
I don't. Tom Johnson wants to know, is that the bathroom door?
No, that. Where is it at?
There it is.
Right here. That's how I would get into the room there.
Yeah, that's the entry door.
I love that Tom. That's freaking awesome. Tom's awesome. I haven't talked to Tom in a while. I gotta talk to him.
So we fact on Bijan Robinson. Let's move over to wide receiver. Keenan Allen. Again, you're going to start Keenan Allen. Projected 20 points. Did you know that Keenan Allen is the number two leading wide receiver in the NFL this season?
Yes, because I drafted him.
Just behind Tyreek Hill, and he's beaten his current projection in each of his last three games and four of his last seven. The Chargers are on a losing streak. But get the Patriots allowing the eighth most points to opposing running backs this season. I expect a big day from everyone on this Chargers offense, most of which being Keenan Allen. I am also starting Keenan Allen this week. Bill, I'm guessing you're facting this as well.
Yeah, it's a fact. Beating this prediction six of his 11 games, including the last three. And last week he had 14 catches. This guy's a target machine. If you ever look at his targets, it's ridiculous. It's double digits every single week. And he makes a lot of the catches. This guy's like the focal point of the offense. Yeah, you got to play him. This is a fact.
I drafted Keenan Allen in like the fifth or sixth round this year.
Yeah, he never got drafted high.
I got crapped on for it. Like, he's old. Mm-hmm. He's bagged up. He doesn't stay healthy. And I'm like, I got this dude in the sixth round.
And I want to say
killing it.
He had some injuries last year, but I want to say when he came back from injury, it was like week six or seven. He was the number one wide receiver in fantasy all season. Yeah, but he was the number one wide receiver when he came back from injury last year. After he came back, he was the number one wide receiver the remainder of the season. So if you were paying attention, you drafted this guy I did.
Yep, and Volley Polly understanding that Keenan Allen is a PPR monster. Yes. Let's go over to tight end, and this should go as no surprise. Sam LaPorta only projected 11.9 points. When the Lions get LaPorta involved in the offense, the Lions typically look like a better team and tend to win games. Sure, LaPorta has only hit this projection in two of his last four games, but the Saints are giving up the 14th most points to tight ends, and the Lions are hungry and angry after losing yet another Thanksgiving game to the Packers last week with the extra rest. I see this game getting ugly late, and I think that means more for LaPorta's chances. So I'm buying Sam LaPorta this week. Bill, what say you? Am I going to get your first crap on me this week?
Yeah, not so fast, Ryan. I don't think LaPorta does this. He's beaten this projection in four of the games that he's played in this season. However, all four of those times happened at home. In all five road games, he has not gone over 11.9 points. He does not do it again this week against the 19th worst tight end defense in the league. So this one's crap.
Yeah, Bill gives me this for the first time tonight.
That's right. On the road. LaPorta doesn't play that well on the road so far this season.
All right, let's go over to Bully's Cells from week 13, and let's start off at quarterback. And again, this probably wasn't a guy that you were starting, but I'm selling Baker Mayfield projected 20 points this week. I know his opponent, the Panthers, are going through a really, really rough time. We spent a lot of time on the show talking about how rough the Panthers situation is right now, but their defense, the Panthers' defense, is giving up a ton of rushing yards. Not so much with the passing yards, allowing the fourth fewest points to oppose quarterbacks this season. Baker Mayfield has not hit his current projection in the past two games or in four of his last seven. If you're looking for a bye week filler for someone like Lamar Jackson or someone like Josh Allen, don't go with Baker Mayfield. Bill, what say you? Factor crap selling Baker Mayfield and his 20 points.
I agree with this one. This is a fact. Like you said, Carolina is just too good against the pass. I don't know why it is. They just do a really nice job playing pass defense, including they played Dak Prescott 2 weeks ago. He only put up 20.46, and he's been really hot. So I think Tua was the best against them all season long, and that pushed up their scoring against them. But other than that, Carolina's been fantastic against the pass. I don't think Baker does anything against this defense.
All right, let's go over to running back here that I'm selling this week. And this may come as a surprise, but DeAndre Swift from the Philadelphia Eagles projected – 14.3 points. He was looking really good earlier in the year.
Yeah.
However, they're playing the Niners, allowing the fifth fewest points to running backs this season, and he's only outscored his current projection in two of his last five games. You're probably going to start him, but temper expectations as the Eagles face their toughest test of this year's of the year in this week's potential NFC Championship game preview. Bill, what say you? Factor crap selling DeAndre Swift in his 14.3.
I'm going to give you a fact on this one, Ryan. He's beaten this prediction 7 out of 11 games. But San Francisco is just so good against running backs. I just don't think – I think this is going to be a brutal game. I bet you the weather in Philly – I don't know. Maybe we should, if Tom's still here, he's up there in upstate New York. Maybe he can give us kind of a prediction for the weekend. But they've had crappy weather up there for a bit. And, yeah, I don't think he beats this prediction.
Volley Polly's agreeing with us both on the selling on DeAndre Swift. Let's go over to wide receiver here. Wide receiver that I'm selling this week, Tank Dell, the Houston Texans, projected 15.9 fantasy points. Kind of a surprising guy from this Houston Texans offense, but he's dealing with a calf injury. He did not practice on Wednesday, but the Texans are hopeful that he'll be able to go this weekend. The downside to that is that he's going up against the Denver Broncos this week, allowing the fifth fewest points to wide receivers. I think he plays, but I don't like the Texans' chances this week against the surging Broncos. Bill, factor crap selling Tank Dell and his 15.9 points.
This crap, Ryan. This crap. Big crap. You know why? Because CJ Stroud can throw, my man. CJ Stroud can throw, and Tank Dell is his number one receiver. He is, I mean, if he's looking for a receiver, he's looking for Dell. The dude is super fast. He gets open down the field. He's beaten this 6 times this season out of 11 games, and he's beaten it 4 straight times coming into this game, Ryan. He's going to go past, be above 15.9 points in this game.
Well, we get a little bit of separation. You've gone against two of my picks, so I'll take it. Let's see if you go against my tight end sell this week. Trey McBride, the Arizona Cardinals, 11.2.
Another rookie. Just crapping on the rookies over here.
Yeah, I am crapping on all the rookies. Let's look at Trey McBride. Every week, McBride scores in double digits. He follows it up with a poor outing. His last 6 fantasy games, 6, 25, 5, 21, 9, and 13. Based on the pattern, if you've got another tight end to put in, I'd go with him this week over McBride. They're also playing the Steelers, allowing the ninth fewest points to tight ends, which again, pattern, matchup, I'm selling McBride in his 11.2. Bill, what say you? Factor crap on selling Trey McBride in his 11.2 points.
Not so fast, Ryan. Not so fast.
Another McBride, one, huh?
McBride, this is crap. McBride is Kyler Murray's.
Another one of these tonight.
Kyler Murray's number one target since Murray has taken over as quarterback. His targets go 9, 7, and 9 in the 3 games that Kyler Murray's played. That gave him 8, 5, and 7 receptions. He's now becoming a PPR monster at the tight end position where 11.2 is easy to beat, and he beats it this week. I think that's another crap from Ryan.
All right, let's look at some of the comments here.
I love my sound, too. It's terrible. I need a better one. That's crap. I'm like,
oh, you know, I could find a sound drop from the old Everything Scottish skits from SNL.
Yeah.
Welcome to Everything Scottish. If it's not Scottish, it's crap. Like, I can find that one.
That's perfect. We got to get that one.
Tom Johnson says he's got bad weather. It's snowing up there.
There you go. I saw that. They played basketball at Syracuse. He's just outside of Syracuse. They played basketball there, and I saw the snow, and I thought about Tom, and I went, ugh, but they did absolutely pummel LSU last night.
Your dad is still giving us updates on the Rangers game against Detroit, yeah, I guess. Tim Costello is screaming Nico. I think Nico has a better day than Tank Dell. So there you go.
That's harsh.
And Tom, I don't know if it was a typo, but he called Nicole Collins is good too.
He's good. So. Nicole, she's fantastic. Is that Nico's wife? I mean,
yeah. No, listen, I like Nico's chances better than Tank Dell this weekend. So that on to the reason why I'm selling him this week.
He's fantastic. Tank Dell.
All right. We did not have a whole lot of Bullies Buddies questions this week, but I'll read the one from Volley Polly, and then I've got one for you. So this will be fun to see what Bill has to say.
Okay.
Volley Polly, is it time to bench Adam Thielen? His other options are Rondale Moore and Tutu Atwell. If you want my opinion, I don't think it's quite time yet. The Panthers are in disarray. Adam Thielen has been on record this season to say that he did not like the effort that the Panthers were putting out. I think you get some. I'm a huge Deuce Daly fan. He's a running back great from South Carolina. I believe he won a Super Bowl with the Steelers as a backup.
You're so mad. You were so mad.
I was really upset that they cut Deuce Daly. However, he was the running backs coach. He had nothing to do with wide receivers.
Yep.
I think that they're going to try to make this offense a little more dynamic. I don't think this is the right league for it. But listen, Adam Thielen is still going to get targets. They're still going to try to feed him the ball. And so, listen, if you're starting one of those other two guys, it's Tutu Atwell. But the Rams have a tough matchup this week. You've still got both Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua ahead of Tutu Atwell in the depth chart. I don't trust anybody on the Cardinals, especially this week. I don't trust anybody on the Cardinals either against the Steelers. I think you roll with Adam Thielen this week. Bill, what say you?
I agree with that, actually. I feel like at the beginning of the season, Volley Poly, I would have felt bad for you that Adam Thielen was one of your options at wide receiver, but boy, has he had a great season. He's caught at least five passes in every game except for last game, and he's going to look to bounce back in this game. The other guys, Rondale Moore, no. His targets are down since Murray has returned because he's looking for, you know, Ryan Sell and McBride. That's where those targets are going. And Tutu Atwell, really, he had a great opener to the, you know, when, oh my gosh, can't think of his name, was hurt.
You're talking about Kyler Murray?
No, the Rams.
Oh, Matt
Stafford. When Cooper Kupp was hurt, that's when Tutu Atwell was really flourishing. He really hasn't been that good since Kupp's come back. And they're playing Cleveland. You don't want to start people, especially the third wide receiver with the Rams at Cleveland. So, stay with Thielen.
All right. So my question, first of all, Volley Poly, says fair enough. I think he's going to roll with Thielen this week.
Yeah.
All right. My question to the podcast, to Bill.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard.
I like that guy.
Against Tampa Bay, or Brandon Cooks on Thursday Night Football against Seattle. Chuba Hubbard has been like the only guy that's been outside of Thielen that's been contributing consistently. 20 fantasy points last week. He found the end zone. He had five catches for 47 yards last week. But the Bucs are giving up the eighth fewest points to the running backs. Meanwhile, Brandon Cooks playing against Seattle. Seattle's ranked 19th against wide receivers. Current projection, 10.7 for Brandon Cooks and 11.1 for Chuba Hubbard. I'm having a really hard time because I can start right now.
I think Cooks, Ryan.
Yeah, right now I'm starting. My starting lineup consists of Tua Tagovailoa, Austin Eckler, Jahmyr Gibbs. I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown and Brandon Cooks at my wide receiver spot with Laporta at tight end. And I'm starting Keenan Allen in my flex only because I've got Cooks in my wide receiver spot playing Thursday night. But if I was to pull Cooks, I'm putting Keenan Allen at wide receiver and putting Chuba Hubbard in my flex. You think I roll with Cooks?
I think Cooks, yeah, because Miles Sanders' touches are up too. Last 2 weeks, he's had a lot more runs, a lot more touches.
He's still not getting production.
He's getting touches, and now they fired the running backs coach. Maybe the reason is because he wasn't playing Miles. I don't know, but
maybe it was because he thought that Miles that Deuce Daly coming from Philadelphia. Was or not coming from Philadelphia, but
did they want him to play Chuba Hubbard? I don't know. That team is in disarray. They make me nervous. Brandon Cooks, not super consistent, but I think his ceiling or his floor. Well, I don't know. His floor is probably lower, to be honest. Well, but his ceiling is higher.
You talked about Miles Sanders' touches increasing. He had 15 carries last week, but he's not doing anything with him.
No, he's
28 yards on 15 carries. He only had one target in the passing game.
I had Chuba Hubbard earlier this season in one of my leagues, and I released him because he just doesn't have the consistent point total.
You mean Miles Sanders? Yeah.
No. I had Chuba Hubbard.
You released Chuba Hubbard?
Yeah.
I said
Chuba Hubbard, right?
Yeah, you did. I thought you meant Miles Sanders because I picked
him up and had him for a couple weeks. He just didn't do anything.
I wish I would have cut Miles Sanders sooner because. It's just really disappointing. Listen, those are the only questions we got from Bully's Buddies this week. Let's see if we got any more comments before we go to Homer's Corner. Volley Poly said he released Sanders as well. Good call.
He stinks. That's an offensive line. That's what they should be figuring out in Carolina. You got to find an offensive line. I would start scouring practice squads. You can't do much worse than what you have. It's so bad.
They need – so in the offseason, because, you know, something we didn't really get to when we were talking about how bad the organization was, but the offseason, they're going to have – I mean, you're going to have to do something to try to trade back up into the draft because right now you're going to have the number one overall pick that Chicago is going to get. You're going to have to find ways to creep back up into the draft, get some more draft capital back. If that means trading Brian Burns for a couple of first or first and second, you might be surprised to hear this. I think it's time to move on from J.C. Horn. He hasn't been healthy in the 3 years that he's been in Carolina, out of South Carolina. I think it's time, even if you only get a third-round pick out of him, you got to let go of J.C. Horn, because all he's done is taken up space. What's up?
I have a question. Where was Carolina? I don't remember this. I should. But where were they in the – because I just don't care. Where were they in the draft before they traded up to get the number one pick?
Nine. Hmm. Yeah. I know.
That's a lot.
Tim Costello says Cooks is too sporadic. I know. That's why
I agree. That's why I said it. I think his floor is lower, but his ceiling is higher.
Paulie wants to perhaps check for talent from the XFL for linemen now.
Something.
There's a reason why the linemen were playing in the XFL, because they weren't second or third string on the NFL. Like, there's a reason practice why they were
there. There's practice squad folks out there.
Yeah. They need to be very active in free agency this offseason. They need to be very active in free agency.
I feel bad for Bryce Young, but I still don't like it.
All right. We are to my favorite segment of the show, and that's Homer's Corner. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here, because you got more to talk about your Miami Dolphins.
Of course I do. I have nothing good to say about the Florida Gators, so it's going to be about the freaking Miami Dolphins. It's a football show, Ryan. I don't do girls basketball.
That's one of us.
So sounds terrible. I'm not being sexist either. I'm just not into girls basketball.
That's okay.
All right, so my Homer's Corner. Well, Ryan's got it on the screen. The Dolphins had the best offense and defense since week five. That's actually a little bit misleading. What it is, they have the best offense for the entire regular season, but since week five in this season in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins have the number one defense in the NFL. Tyreek Hill came out this week and said that when they win the Super Bowl with Kansas City, he thinks this Miami Dolphins roster is better than that Kansas City roster. Can you believe that? That terrifies me. Shut up, Tyreek. Just play football. But at the same time, holy cow, this Miami Dolphins roster is definitely shaping up. We did lose Jalen Phillips this week, but we replaced him with
Jason Pierre-Paul,
JPP, back in the NFL. He said he was crying, man. He said, I'm coming home and I'm going to get no sacks. That's exactly what's going to happen. But I mean, at least the claw is going to be there. We're going to get three fingers. It's going to be great. And how many rings does he have? None. I think he did what the, I think he did.
You mean he's bringing his strong hand to Miami?
Strong hand, man. Let's go. But I'm excited, man. This is a fantastic roster, and I can't believe that statistic came out this week. I immediately sent it to Ryan and was like, check this out. This is how good Miami's roster is and how good they could be this season, and let's see what happens as we go down to the end. But number one defense since week five. That's awesome.
That's good stuff. Now, this is a football show, but if Bill interrupts me when I'm talking to Gamecock basketball here, I will mute him to get my point, to get my thought out. South Carolina lost to Clemson last weekend in what was a heartbreaking and frustrating game for me to watch. I got a last-minute ticket, did go. It was brutally cold. At some point down the line, I threw my back out, and South Carolina will not be going bowling. So the good news is I will not have to waste money on going to a bowl game for Carolina this year. However,
that's always a waste of money. Always a waste of money.
Sorry, I told you I'll mute you, Bill. I'll do it. It's Gamecock basketball season, baby, and I'm not just talking the Lady Gamecocks, who are the consensus number one in the country, 5-0. They play North Carolina this Thursday, number 24 in the country, that will get rocked. The men's basketball team, the men's team in year two under Lamont Paris is 6-0. They won a tournament out in Arizona. There are naysayers that will complain about the fact that they haven't beaten a top 65 team. I don't care. Build some confidence, get some wins. It's their best start since the Gamecocks went to the Final Four back in 2017. I'm loving it. It is Gamecock basketball season, and I am here for it. So having said that, I'll switch this out. Even though Gamecock football season's over, Gamecock basketball season's here. As Bill's not looking down, he didn't see the wardrobe change
yet. Oh, I'm looking. I'm looking. It's ridiculous.
So I'm here for it. Bill, anybody you want to shout out before we sign off tonight? We actually made it at like an hour. So, Tim Costello,
super cool to see people that I haven't seen in a while. Tom made it in here. That's awesome. It's super cool just to have the people that are joining in and watching and having fun hanging out with us, talking about stuff we don't really know that much about. Although, I would like to point out, Ryan, thanks for Volley Polly for pointing this out, but Sweep, did you get your broom out? Yo, it to me. You got to get my broom out. Sweep the Finding Debos. Sweep.
I'm going to mute you before the end of the show. Listen, make sure, first of all, thank you everybody who joined to be a part of the show today. Everybody that left comments between Andy, Tom, Tim, Volley Polly, Pedro, Mom came in the chat, Amy Lynn Wickman. We had a lot of people in the chat, a lot of people watching the show with us tonight. Do me a favor And if you haven't already, go to facebook.com/tapoutsanddutchdowns. Go invite all of the people on your friends list to follow the show. We are at the final push to our first 1,000 followers. I believe last time I checked, we're in the 800s, 820s. So continue to invite your friends to follow the page. We are growing. We want to get to a point where I can't read all the comments that come in the chat. So share the show with your friends.
250 or 270 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We have grown tremendously.
Wildfires.
So invite your friends, invite them to be a part of the conversation. Join us live on Thursdays where we talk all things football. And then on Mondays, we normally have our wrestling shows. It's been sporadic. We will get to have another wrestling show here soon as both Survivor Series War Games and AEW. I can't remember what the event was, but they just had a pay-per-view a few weeks ago. We are headed towards Wrestle Kingdom. So I know Stephen PJ Jones is excited about where that is coming to a head here in the next month or so. So a lot of stuff to talk about with wrestling. And then they go live on Wednesdays. The Cat Cave is part of the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, powered by the Fans First Sports Network, where Shannon Smith, myself, and on the occasion, Mike Davis comes in and talks all things Carolina Panthers. Thanks for everybody for being a part of the show today, and we'll see you next time. For Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and we'll see you next week right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.